Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel. Again, from John's final farewell discourse, chapter 15. This time, taking up from last week's theme of the vine and the branches, chapter 15 moves on then to speak about the commandment of love. And this extract from verses 9 to 17 breaks into kind of two paragraphs. First paragraph from 9 to 11 talks about the new commandment, and from 12 to 17, sorry, I got that the wrong way around. From 9 to 11, the first part of the section refers to abide in my love, remain in my love. And then from 12 to 17, it's about the commandment. Sorry about that. So, looking at the text then, we know that this is part of the farewell discourse as the church, including this in our liturgy, because we're coming up to the end of the Easter season. Next Sunday will be Ascension Sunday. So there's that sense of farewell to Christ leaving us. And this is a way to think of the presence of Christ remaining with us, despite his physical absence from the disciples. So the text then goes into, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. That's one of those wee tiny but very powerful words, as the Father has loved me. So this is a very strong meaning in John's Gospel. It's not just a comparison, but rather an indication of the origin and continuity of this love. That is the same love which the Father has loved Jesus. That's the love that he has for us. And then the instruction, remain in my love. We're able to inhabit this wonderful reality and remain in it. And that's one of the qualities of a good disciple, if you're able to constantly remain in the notion that God loves you. No matter what you've done or who you are, it's transformative. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Now this might look like a kind of a deal, a quid pro quo, but in reality the commandment is to love. And in loving and being, acting as loving people, we're abiding in his love, we're remaining in his love. So it's an important part of being a disciple. And you can see how powerful this would be as a way for people to know that Christ was with them, even though he was physically separated from them. They're remaining in this relationship, this strong, close, loving relationship. So, moving on then, I have told you this so that my own joy may be in you and your joy be complete. It's worth remembering that this was written at the end of the first century, and the Christian community was almost in a stage of romance. People loved each other. See these Christians, how they love each other. They helped each other. They gave their property. They shared their goods in common, etc., as we heard in Acts. So this statement is reflecting that kind of joyful reality of what happens when you remain in love. So this is my commandment in verse 12. Love one another as I have loved you. And there's that word as again. Very, very powerful. It's the same love with which we love each other. The love that God loves us with. We're able to accept that love and pass it on, as it were. Love one another as I have loved you. In fact, loving each other sometimes is impossible and difficult. If we hadn't got God's love for us makes it possible that we can do this. So we've moved over now to the second section, 12 to 17, where the word commandment is emphasized. So when Jesus said, a man can have no greater love than to lay down his life for his friends, he's more or less describing what his love is like. This is the way I love. I love by giving my life for my friends. And then there's this upgrade, like he's promoting his people from being disciples to being from being servants to being friends. So his commandment is like a recommendation, a strong instruction about what is the best way to live, and telling you this as a friend. I shall not call you servants anymore, because a servant does not know his master's business. I call you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have learned from my Father. I think it's a very powerful verse, that one, where the intimacy of the relationship means that Christ has told us everything. He hasn't held anything back. I always think of a married couple here. You know, the one you confide in, the one you tell everything to, the one who knows everything about you. And that's the relationship that Christ has with his bride, the church. So there's an awful lot in this, I think, for good marriages and good family life. I've told you everything. So moving on then, the summary, the last verse, you did not choose me. No, I chose you, and I commissioned you to go out and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask him in my name. So some people talk about finding God, and this verse reminds us that it's God who's chosen us. He finds us. He chooses us, and faith is a gift that he's gifted us with. He's chosen us to have that faith in him, that trust in him. We should never feel full of ourselves or happy with ourselves that we have faith. We shouldn't ever compare ourselves with others. But just thank God that we have the gift of faith, and that's because of Christ's choice of us. But he's also given us commission in baptism to go out and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. And I think that's the fruit of love, of service, of giving ourselves. That's the fruit that lasts. And then part of that is, if you're loving, then the Father will give you anything you ask him in my name. Because to love God and to love his people is to want the best for them. We'll not be wanting anything that's going to do us harm or anything that's not going to be good, worthy. And then the final bracketing, as it were, verse, what I command you is to love one another. It's a summary appeal, which brings the meditation to a close. So then, some things you might be able to share with each other. I'm thinking of marriages and family life, and could you share about when you've allowed yourself to be known and loved, when friendship blossomed for you because you made time available and took efforts to understand the other person, and what this was like? Another one, I chose you. Have you had the experience of being chosen by someone? And what was it like for you to be chosen? What was it like for you to consider yourself as one chosen by Jesus? And I'm sure you have other things to talk about as well. So I'll finish with a prayer. God of all nations, in the gift of your Son, you have embraced the world with a love that takes away our sin and bestows perfect joy. Grant to all who have been reborn in baptism, fidelity in serving you, and generosity in loving one another. Grant this through Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. God bless your work.